Hey,
Hello.
Ian. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Yay. Hey, awesome. So it's on. It's starting.
Very cool.
I've been doing
Can you
this
hear me
now.
All right?
I hear you perfectly. There's a little bit of an echo. Are you using headphones?
Yeah, I'm not in the warehouse. I'll go into the office here. It's a little less echoey.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yay.
There we go.
Well, you know, because of COVID, we've had to pivot. And so yeah, we've had to just make some changes. So we're recording. So, hey, so here's my little quick intro. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Sharon Lee Zapata, hostess of Middle Finger Happiness. Work hard, live well, don't fuck with me. The same title of my book on Amazon. And just really getting excited because I just looked at our numbers and they're pretty good. They're really good. We hit 15,000 downloads. I thought it was 9,000. So I thank everybody who listens. If you're new, hold on to your pants or whatever you got to hold on to. I've got a great guest, a local, the Houston's number one rum distillery. I have the owner and friend of mine, Ian Mook. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yay, man. And you've been on the podcast before. I think it was last year or was it?
It was about a year ago.
2018, 2019. But a lot's changed. Holy crap, a lot's changed.
Oh, yeah.
So we were, you know, we were drinking rum and we're a big fan of your rum. And I was telling Felipe, that's my husband. I said, hey, you know what? I think I need to do a redo. There's a couple of good podcast people that we got to recircle the wagon around, like they say here in Houston. So welcome. Tell us, well, you know what, let me back up. Beginning, middle, and end. And I've learned this the hard way. I always tell the social media handles where people can follow you, because I never know where they are in the podcast, if they're driving and then they got to their destination and then they turn the car off or whatever. So first of all, you're on Instagram at Grateful Dane Distilling, or I just don't even know your whole handle. I just kind of know you.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think you got it. It's Grateful Dane Distilling on Instagram, or if you just search Grateful Dane, you'll see us. We're the only Grateful Dane.
And then Grateful Dane Distilling Company is the website.
Yeah, .com. Grateful Dane Distilling, or just GratefulDaneDistilling.com is our website. And then we also do Facebook as well, Grateful Dane Distilling.
That's right. It's on there. Well, who are you? Who are you and what you do?
Well, my name's Ian, and I'm an entrepreneur running the very first ever legal rum distillery in the city of Houston, living my dream.
What, living the dream? When do we have to throw in the word legal? Are there people illegally still doing this? Or?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. You know, you can homebrew beer and you can homebrew wine up to a certain amount without having to worry about any permits or anything. But if you make distilled spirits, that is still against the law. The law has not changed, so you're not legally allowed to distill spirits without all of the federal and state level permits.
Yeah.
And I'm the first person in the city of Houston to ever do that. So
and you make some damn good rum, because I'm drinking a soda here, carbonated water. I've never been a fan of rum, and then when I got hold of your rum 2 years ago, holy shit, I'll just say it. It's so good. You can actually just even sip it, like the spice rum. If you just put some good, you know, the ice cubes and just enjoy it and just sip on it. It's a awesome rum. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So the backstory, because like I said, I had you on the podcast before. You grew up in the Golden, Colorado area where the Coors Light beer is. Or tell us how this began. Where did the origin of your vision and this dream and you know, how did you start becoming the rum distillery person, entrepreneur?
Absolutely. Well, I'm born and raised Texan, so that's very important to me. I was born in Dallas and I grew up in Houston. But like you said, for a few years in my childhood, in the early 90s, I lived in Golden, Colorado, which is a little suburb of Denver, basically halfway between Denver and the Rocky Mountains. And it's home to the largest single-site brewery in the United States called Coors Brewing Company. And so I was, you know, introduced to that because if you're just living in the town, you know what Coors is just because the whole town's really built around the brewery.
Right.
Eventually, my dad started working there nights while he was going to school to get his master's. I'm at a little school called Colorado School of Mines. He started doing nights on the, started on the canning line at Coors Brewing, and over the few years that he worked there, he worked his way all the way up to an assistant brewer. So, me being this young, you know, impressionable child growing up, you know, with my dad working at the coolest place in town. And, you know, anytime we had relatives come to town, we'd always take them on Coors tours. And I just was really fascinated with the industry at a very young age. And that paired with my little brother and I's favorite movie at the time, at least, it's still one of my favorite movies of all time, is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And
I love that movie. And I love
that movie. It's a great movie. And I'm talking about the original, the Gene Wilder.
Yeah, the original one.
And, remake. I know a lot of people hate on the remake. I've only seen it like one time, so I can't.
No, we have the original one.
About the Johnny Depp version.
No, it's a good one.
But yeah, the original one it still holds up. I watch it at least once a year. But anyway, that candy factory, you know, I essentially saw my dad as just working at a candy factory. He's just making candy for adults.
For adults. And coming forward, I mean, fast forward to when did Grateful Dane get started? Like, what was the year you actually like, okay, we got our LLC, we opened doors, ta-da, I'm gonna...
Fast forward, I went through school. I knew I wanted to work with my hands, so I actually became a mechanic and worked from the age of 18 until I was about 28 or 29 years old on cars. But during the time I was doing that, I kind of knew, like, you know, I want to figure out how to own my own candy factory like I dreamt of as a child.
Right.
And so I started playing around with these ideas, started my spare time. On weekends, I just draw up business plans and throw enough stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And eventually I came up with this idea of this rum distillery that I thought was a good way to do it, something that I really cared a lot about. And I thought I had a good plan to implement. And so I started pursuing that. And I think it was about 2012. In September of 2012, I filed for my LLC.
Wow.
And then it took another 2 years of just refining that business plan and getting, plenty of no's as far as funding from banks, and then realizing I needed to refine my business plan some more. And
yeah,
and it took about two and a half years to really kind of, you know, turn that rough idea that I thought was a good idea at the beginning and really fine tune it. And until I had something that was starting to stand up and was something that was actually seeming feasible. And in 2014, I finally found somebody that believed in me enough to loan me a little bit of money, at least enough to get going. I very quickly ran out of it within a short time of getting started, but it was enough to get the wheels turning.
So how did you handle, how'd you handle the no's? Because I mean, people that are listening, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that listen. So we always have that question because we see people like, oh my God, you're doing so good. But you're like, you had no idea what the backstory. So how did
you
handle it?
You know, at first I was like, well, you know, it's definitely, you know, you start losing motivation after so many no's. You say, man, you know, I think it's a good idea, but maybe nobody else does. And, it's hard to stay positive about your dream when so many people are telling you that it's not going to work. But I'd say just persistence, you know, just believing in yourself.
Yeah.
And I believed in myself, and I knew, you know, it was a new industry. I'm the first person in Houston. I'm not the first distillery in Houston, but I'm the first rum distillery in Houston. And that was too risky for, you know, these banks that deal with, you know, ABC, you know, flower shop, or, you know,
the
common restaurant, you know, or something they know how the business works, and it's a safe loan to make. Whereas my industry, that they were like, I don't know what this is, it's too risky, we're not gonna. So you just persistence, finding somebody that understood the industry a little bit better
and
believed in me. Yeah.
And I love that. Oh, his name was Tim. Is that what you said? Hello.
Who?
I thought you said Tim. I'm sorry.
No.
I thought you said somebody. I thought his name was Tim. The guy that believed in you was Tim. Never mind.
I have a friend named Tim, but no, that's not it. Unrelated story, yeah.
So I noticed you guys have a really cool look on your website. I love the colors. I love everything. I mean, I know the labeling kind of went through a makeover. It just pops. It's like, I love the energy and the color. And so tell everybody about how this is, I mean, it is handmade. So how long does it take to make, I'm just going to throw a number, just a bottle, or how many bottles are made per day or week or month, or how is that made? How does that roll?
Yeah. So let's focus on the silver rum, because we do make a few different products here, but, for example, our silver rum, which is our most popular rum because it's the most versatile.
Mm-hmm.
That rum is about 2 weeks to a month from sugar, bulk sugar, until it's just fermented and then double distilled and then ends up in a bottle. It depends on the season, the temperatures. We do an ambient temperature fermentation here, so we have that speeds up a lot in the summer and it slows way down in the winter, but I'd say on average about 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
From sugar into a bottle.
And how did you learn it? I mean, did you, I mean, that's another, people are like, I'm not going to tell you no trade secrets, but I mean, like, is it self-taught? Did you go to rum school? Did you?
For the most part, yeah, I'm self-taught. You know, it's something that I'm very interested in. And by the time, you know, like I said, I started forming this business plan in 2012. The internet was already abundant with tons of information, and so
yeah,
plenty of resources out there for learning how this all works, and so that's really how I've pretty much figured it all out. I bought a few books, recommended books that people had, other distillers had recommended, and for the most part self-taught. I figured the whole process out, you know, just from what information I was able to acquire from the internet and a few books.
After that,
once I felt like I knew what I was doing, I did eventually go to a professional distilling class just to kind of confirm everything, to make sure I'm not accidentally make poison or something, you know. I want to make sure that I do actually know what I'm doing. And it just kind of confirmed everything. Like, said, yeah, this is how you do it. And it was also an opportunity to practice on commercial size equipment before I invested.
Before you're just doing it on your own, now you've got the big stuff. And I've been to your distillery. And what the cool thing about it is, you actually have tours, or you're still doing tours now that COVID's here. Okay. So with COVID now, what's happened is, so far as, you know, COVID came and knocked on everybody's door, unfortunately, what's changed a little bit?
It's changed a lot for us.
Oh, you say a lot of it.
Yeah, we had to essentially, you know, we were making, our Saturdays were awesome. We were having, you know, between 50 and 100 people was what we were getting pretty much every Saturday, which, you know, compared to when we first started doing tours and we'd have 4 or 5 people show up. So I'm really proud of that. And it was really getting to the point where we were, you know, pouring cocktails, we were keeping people entertained with tours, keeping them entertained and informed with what the difference in our product was, as well as we had a good place, you know, a place for people to hang out and enjoy themselves, enjoy a few rum drinks. But essentially the way our license works is, for that part, is very similar license to what a bar has. So we are still in the same boat that most bars are in, that if you're not able to reclassify your business as a restaurant, and sell at least 50% of your revenue in food, then you're still not allowed to open. So that's where we are right now, as far as the tours and tastings go. That doesn't mean we're closed though. I'm still here. Making rum and producing it, and we do our bottles to go sales every Saturday from 1 to 5 still. So if you want to swing by and pick up a bottle straight from the distillery, you can do that. If we're a little bit out of the way, that's okay. Our rum's available across the state of Texas.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I know Felipe pops in and we go in there and, you know, just like you said, curbside. But where can people find your rum?
Any liquor store in the state of Texas has the ability to carry our rum. We are currently already stocked in pretty much every Total Wine in the state of Texas. We're in many Specs locations. We're working on more of those. We're in independent liquor stores all over the place. So if your favorite store doesn't carry it, this is where I kind of want to ask for a little help from your listeners. If your favorite liquor store doesn't currently carry Grateful Dane rum and you want to see it there, please let them know. We're distributed by Republic National Distribution Company. So legally, I can't sell directly to your Total Wine store. I can't sell directly to your Specs location or your Goody Goody or your mom and pop liquor store. I can't facilitate that. We are required by state law to go through a distributor. So they placed the order through my distributor. Fortunately, our distributor is the biggest distributor in the state of Texas, and they're already making visits to that exact liquor store. And all they need to do is add a couple more bottles onto their next order and start stocking it on the shelf for you.
And stock them on the shelf there. So one of the things I was going to ask you, because I was like, okay, what's a little bit of a different question. What does, or what do you want Grateful Dane to be known for? I mean, you've got tell us the backstory about Grateful Dane, the name, but what is it you want to be known for as far as, you know, the whole conceptual branding?
Yeah, my real goal here is to put Houston on the map in the rum world. When you think of rum, you usually think of the Caribbean. There's a lot of great rum made all over the world, but Caribbean's kind of the birthplace of rum, and there's a lot of great rum made, you know, in North and South America now too. But nobody in Houston was making it, and Houston's my city. I love Houston, and I want to put Houston on that rum map. So my goal is just to kind of get Houston, you know, people say, oh, the Caribbean, and, you know, Houston's essentially we're the coastal Caribbean, basically. So,
Well, we are. So here we are, fast forward as far as the new label, the new design. What are your creative hours as an entrepreneur? People have been asking me that question. Like, you interview all these people that are entrepreneurs. What are their creative hours? Like, what's a good time that you know this is when I'm sitting down and I'm creating for the rum, for the brand?
The shower. I do a lot of creation in the shower. I think of really great ideas there. It's just you get left alone, nobody messes with you.
I've heard that. Thoughts.
This business is fueled on shower thoughts for sure.
Oh, how funny. Yeah, the shower thoughts. And then, like, what was your connection with hand sanitizer? Because I saw that on Instagram.
Oh yeah. So that that kind of came about, just it kind of happened when the whole pandemic started. Hand sanitizer is mostly alcohol. It needs to be at least 80% alcohol if you're using ethyl alcohol, and it needs to be at least 70% alcohol if you're using isopropyl. So we make ethyl alcohol. That's what my business does here. The ethyl alcohol that we make is for drinking, however. But the process for creating ethyl alcohol is the same. Just a matter of the purity that you're distilling it to. So I knew that I was set to produce this alcohol that's used in hand sanitizer, and I noticed some of the other distilleries around the nation were starting to produce hand sanitizer because they had the means to do it, and I started getting inquiries about hand sanitizer. And at first, you know, any sort of pivot is always going to cost money. And I knew that this is financially a time to save money and not to be spending it. But the overwhelming demand for it, so I said, you know, I've got to start making this. So many people there was a point where I was getting 100 phone calls a day at least.
Just
about
hand
sanitizer. So yeah, I realized that, like, this is something I have to do.
To help out.
So I started sourcing, you know, with packaging and things like that, which became very difficult. But I started making hand sanitizer, and the very first batch we did, we gave away little sample bottles with our purchase of a rum, because those sample bottles were packaging that I had on hand. After that, I ran out of the small bottles, and plastic bottles were unavailable nationwide. So we started bottling it in 1 gallon bottles, and started supplying local first responders, police departments, fire departments, hospitals. I even supplied a contractor for NASA. So
awesome.
As more, plenty of people all around the Houston area. So we did that. And then about 2 months ago now, all these major distilleries, these bulk neutral ethanol manufacturers that spill more in a day than I make in an entire year, all did the same thing, and they started making hand sanitizer at a rate that I couldn't compete with anymore. So the market dropped off faster than it grew. It was a very quick on and off for the hand sanitizer market. And we ended up with a little bit of surplus, but I ended up donating a lot of the surplus to we have a low income school district here in the Houston area. They said that they were in need of hand sanitizer for families that couldn't afford it for themselves. So we made a big donation to them. And then also We sent a bunch of hand sanitizer over to Louisiana for the hurricane relief effort through the Peter Mayhew Foundation, which is something that I feel really great about.
Now that was done. I saw that. That was Chewbacca.
Yeah, yeah. Chewbacca, unfortunately, said, he passed last year, but came by and his foundation is still doing great things.
So you won the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, and the silver medal was presented to you for the 2020 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. How did that happen? I mean, not that how that happened. I know it happened because you guys have an amazing rum, but tell us all the moving parts to that.
Yeah, so that's San Francisco World Spirits Competition is pretty much the biggest spirits competition, at least for. It's called the International Spirits Competition, and it's pretty much the biggest spirits competition that I know of that's hosted in the United States. So all the big guys send all their products there. So you're competing against everything if you send your product in to compete. But that's what I want. I want to, you know, like I said, I want to put Houston on the map for rum.
Right.
Because the way you do that is by competing against the big guys. So so we send it out there, and I'd signed up. Contest season starts early in the beginning of the year, where they take all their entrants and get everybody entered into the contest. And back then it was business as usual for us. So I'm set to ship a case of rum up there for the judges to try. And it was like that week I started shipping it. That's when everything started getting locked down. Almost didn't even make it into FedEx. Like FedEx wasn't taking any more. Like they weren't shipping anything even for until they could figure out how to handle all the sanitation and everything. I had to stand out in a line in front of FedEx with my rum and eventually get them to accept it and ship it off there. So I barely made it out. I didn't go, but my rum made it to San Francisco for contest. And they hosted that contest and we ended up taking home a silver medal, which is. Something I'm pretty proud of as well.
That you should be proud because I mean that's world spirit. It's not like you're just your local thing. This is the globe. So that was the whole global thing. And then I also saw in 2017 you guys got the International Rum Expert, or what was it called? The gold medal.
Yeah, it's the
Miami.
Same rum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
Miami.
Same rum. That's back when we had it a different label. It was called Texas Silver Rum back then. We rebranded last year and started calling it Grateful Dane Silver Rum. But we took a gold medal at the 2017 Miami Rum Festival with our silver rum.
How does one become a rum expert? Because I was reading, I did my research. I was like, oh,
yeah.
A rum expert. Like, how do you become a rum expert?
I guess you just drink a lot.
but to taste it like a connoisseur of it. Okay, so tell us the difference because my favorite is your spiced rum. Like that, I love the spiced rum, but you have silver rum, gold rum, mm-hmm. and spiced rum. And so what are the differences there?
Yeah, so our silver rum, that's the rum that's our base rum. That's basically, that's our foundation, let's call it. So our silver rum is the foundation that we build everything else upon. So now that we have our silver rum, we have now created the rum itself, and now the difference in our rums is what's done to it after it's become silver rum. So for our spiced rum, we take that silver rum and we infuse it with 5 all natural spices. We use whole bean, Mexican vanilla, we use Jamaican allspice berries, we use locally roasted coffee from Java Pira coffee roasters. I'm super lucky to have that coffee roaster is in our business complex here, so they select the single origin coffee bean and roast it specifically for our rum. We also use toasted oak chips in there and then caramel. And the caramel we use is the turbinado sugar that I create the rum from. I'll take that turbinado sugar and melt it down right here in the distillery until it gets nice and caramely. Right when it starts to burn, that's when I pull it off the heat. So you get a really toasty caramel-like flavor in there as well to kind of round out all those spicy flavors. So those spices go into the rum and they infuse for about 1 to 2 weeks. Just like when you make tea, you put the tea in the water and it turns the water tea color and makes the water taste like tea. That's exactly right. What we're doing here is we're taking all of our spices and we're putting them into the rum, and that infuses all of those flavors into the rum.
It's so yummy. Color. I mean, oh yeah, it's just like I said, it's so yummy. It's really good. We love it. In fact, I actually put it in some iced tea, some homemade iced tea. I put a couple of shots of that in the summertime iced tea. So we talked about your creative hours and your what you want to be known for. What is, and this is silly, this is a good question, the transformation that you want your customers to experience when they drink your rum? Not just, oh yeah, this is good rum, but I mean, what was the whole, because I know you are so passionate about it and you put a lot of your love into it. So what is that transformation you want the customer to experience?
I meet a lot of people that tell me, like you even mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, that you didn't like rum until you had tried my rum. And I think a lot of people have there's a lot of cheap spirits of any kind of spirit out there. But for some reason, rum's kind of one of those ones that people try at a young age, and maybe they tried that, you know, that cheap rum, and that's where they kind of put rum in their brain. As far as that, that's what they expect when they have rum. And there's a lot of people I meet that are you know, have experienced that. And I just want people to just give rum another try. There's a lot of really great rum out there. I hope that you think mine is one of them.
Of course.
But rum is a really exceptional category of distilled spirits. I think my rum should stand on its own. If you try it, if you don't like it, that's okay. But if you do like it, you know, that's all the better. So
it's like I said, it's so tasty. I guess as I'm trying to think of some other good entrepreneur questions. So you had, don't give up on your dream, you know, keep pursuing. You had all these speed bumps and you kept going, you know, you heard the no, mm-hmm. the no. What piece of advice would you tell somebody who's not that they're going to start a rum company, but just on the entrepreneur level, like, besides don't stop, what other little piece of knowledge nugget can you throw out there for an entrepreneur who's trying to do something right now, especially through COVID?
The main thing I guess I'd say is persistence, but I already said that. I'd say just continued refinement. Don't stop. Once it's working good, it's not working good enough. Like, keep refining. Keep chiseling away at those. There's problems. You'll find them. Just got to keep finding them, and so that just constant refinement,
like that course correction. You're like, okay, we're on course.
Everything's going even, you know, and I've never, you know, we're 5 years in. Actually, this month, by the way, is our 5 year anniversary.
Congratulations.
And we're 5 years in, and I thank you. And I still haven't gotten things running the way I want them to be running. So it's a constant, you know, it's constantly building and. I want to say it's Will Smith that made this quote. I'm sure, you know, maybe it was his original Will Smith quote where he said, you know, when you're building a wall or you're building a building, you know, you don't try to build it all at once. You take that brick and you lay that brick down the most perfect way that you can. And once that brick is absolutely perfect, then you move on to the next brick. And eventually you'll step back and you'll look at it and you'll say, hey, look at this awesome wall. And that's kind of the concept behind, well, that's the concept that's gotten me as far as I've gotten. And, you know, it's just focus on small details. It gets overwhelming to look at the big picture. Every once in a while, you have to look at the big picture, but it's instant overwhelming.
It's one of those things. It just takes time and people don't realize it's not an overnight success, because you're thinking all of a sudden, oh, look at the rum. Yeah, but you go back to way back when you couldn't even get a loan. Now look where you're at, and then another 5 years from now where you guys will be. So I just see amazing things happening in the future. I really, really do. I just wanted to give you a big shiny spotlight, put you back on the podcast, let people know where you're at. You're at, I'm going to give you the address. It's 5250 Galton Suite 1H in Houston. Correct. Texas. Or is it Bel Air, Texas? Or it is Houston.
Houston. Yeah, Houston. It was very important to me that our address be a Houston address.
Yeah.
As we are the very first ever rum distillery in Houston. So.
Love it. Well, I cannot thank you enough for your time and just taking just a moment of your day to share with us and share with the audience where everybody can find you. And hopefully we can have some, I guess, the tours. I mean, I miss that. I mean, just really miss the, because the weather's changing. I remember you had this big pop-up tent and just going out there and meeting other really cool individuals. And it's always been a pleasant experience being at your rum distillery.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going to try to open back up as soon as we're allowed to. We normally do our anniversary part, even though our you know, the actual business anniversary is in September. We normally wait until November to do a celebration because it's a little more comfortable then. So hopefully we'll be able to do something in November to just commemorate our 5 years. And we'll also be re-releasing our gold rum. Probably even before that, but that's our third rum that we'll have out. It's been out in the past, but it sells out faster than we can make it. So we'll be re-releasing it this probably in the next month or so, and it'll definitely be available for the holiday season.
Well, I'm so excited for everything you guys are doing over there. Continue the great work. And again, I just want to say thank you for being on the podcast. And did you ever think you'd be where you are today? That was the other question. You know what? You know who asked you that? My 12-year-old Zachary wanted to ask you that. Did he ever think he'd be where he is today, Mom? I'm like, wow, that's a good question.
Not exactly, you know, as, you know, reality is, you know, kind of always plays out different than you picture it in your head. But yeah, you know, like I named the distillery Grateful Man, and I'm extremely grateful. You know, I basically, that's what I said at the beginning, I'm living the dream. When I was young, I wanted to be, you know, by the time I was in my early 30s, I wanted to be running my own business. And here I am. So super grateful about that. You know, not everything's gone exactly the way I expected it to, but I'm still, you know, it's just part of the journey.
Yeah, it's part of the process. All right. Well, thank you again one more time. And you guys can follow Ian at Grateful Dane at Grateful Dane Distillery. I just say Grateful Dane on Instagram. Definitely go to the website, which is GratefulDaneDistilling.com. And just want to say thanks for everything you've done.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. If you have any questions, you can reach me at middlefingerhappiness@gmail.com. And I just thank you for listening. Have a great day. Take care. Peace out.
Cheers.